Thank you for listening to We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by your friends at Watson Consoles.
Survey says you're in for a good time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch. And we're speaking dispatch. Hey, you, we're speaking it right to you. We're speaking dispatch. So if you haven't been listening, welcome aboard. If you have been listening, welcome back. And if you're here, make sure you tell your friends all about us so they can all listen in on this awesome broadcast. And today we got a great show for you. We got Leslie and Jill with us today. Hi, everybody. How you guys doing?
Hello.
Really good.
Awesome. Excellent. And we have a representative of our sponsor. Yes, folks, we have another sponsor for us. We have Watson Furniture Consoles. So they're awesome right here. And she's going to introduce herself, tell us a little bit about her, and then we're going to talk about her topic. So, Alexandra, go ahead and tell us what you got.
My name is Alexandra. I'm so happy to be here. So happy to connect with everyone. I am the director of marketing at Watson Consoles, and we are doing some really fun stuff and so excited to support We Speak Dispatch. And so today I'm going to dive into something on the horizon for Watson Consoles that will impact each and every person in public safety. So I can't wait to dive in and talk more about it.
Well, I'll tell you, many of us, like myself, we've been working in the industry for a long, long time and dealt with desks and furniture that were not for dispatch. They were for something. I'm not sure what. But it's like, see the way it's all transformed and morphed into what it is today. Man, it's awesome. So I'm sure you guys have got some great stuff coming up. So go ahead. You can tell us about what you got.
So something that at Watson Consoles is super important to us is designing forward-thinking furniture. So right now we're in a really unique time where we are considering what the next generation console looks like. And a big part of that is industry input and getting feedback. And we're considering it from an empathetic design perspective. So what that means is we're really designing it with the end user in mind. And this could be anything from, do you like a headset holder? Do you need air conditioning? And to what degree do you need those environmental controls? How important is it that you have technology that is thinking about 10 years from now? Or do you need technology? Does it not move at the same pace that we're designing? Things like, do you need storage? What kind of storage? Is it something that's mobile? Is it something that is static? Is it something away from your desk? Who's interacting in your space day to day? Do your supervisors or managers come into your space, or is it disparate where you just kind of need your own zone? So we're just beginning the stages of exploring the next generation console. So today in this conversation, I'm excited to sort of even just start the conversation and what that looks like, and how even this group of people, what they know to be relevant and what can be meaningful. And again, just thinking about it from an empathetic design approach with the end user in mind. So I'll just stop there and let that ruminate for a second.
Well, you know, I do have a question for you, because this is something I experienced my entire career, because I was a trainer. I trained all the time, one-on-one with somebody. We would have to sit at the same console. And I'm kind of a bigger person. I've trained people that are bigger at that point. And sometimes those consoles are just not
the same thing. Like a training console. Like consoles that were meant for two people, not one person.
So what do you guys do to help with that?
Yeah. So in Watson Consoles' current line of product, we do have products that are meant for more of a solo, but then we also have like a corner command, and that, as it implies, corner command. There's more space. You need more of that 180 kind of ability to navigate in that space. So in future design and looking forward, that's what we're kind of trying to navigate, is how many spaces or how many desks actually need that ability to expand beyond just one person. Because I think from what I've understood, or what I've seen from many of the customers that we've had, there are typically somewhere between two and four, really depending on the center, that need to be more of a command level corner, bigger setup, which, you know, I don't know, even in the planning process for centers who are renovating or building or new, if they're considering those factors. So I would challenge you to go back and say, oh, well, did you guys consider this when you designed your space? Right. And do you need to, is that something you need to incorporate as you look to the future? But on that note too, I will say many centers are building for 10 to 20 year lifespans. So it's important to consider what is the growth of that center over time, and do they have furniture that's going to evolve with the space? And that is really important to Watson from both of our divisions, is building environments, configurations that can evolve over time as well. Yeah. And accommodate that.
So it's Doug's interesting, because you don't, I think for most dispatchers, you know, they come in, they plug in, they do their job, and they don't really, I mean, furniture, unless it's outstanding, you know, they're always like, oh, you know, this is what we got with. And to know that y'all are actually thinking about what's coming next and how it can evolve, is just a testament to, hey, you know, dispatchers are in these rooms now for 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 hours sometimes. And so if that space in which they are going to, you know, live for that time is designed with them in mind, I think that is going to have huge benefits. Like you were talking about, the word that stuck out to me when you were introducing yourself was empathetic. You know, you've got this feeling that if I'm comfortable in my space and I have everything that I need, then I'm better prepared to respond to anything that comes my way, whether it be on the phone or the radio or something like that. So, and because of where I work with technology, knowing also that technology is changing so quickly, that you're also, you know, on the same trajectory with that, and how you're building out these environments. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, and to your point, the smallest detail of a console can make such a huge impact. And I'm thinking about one right now, and I actually don't know if it's available or that we do this, but it's something I've considered for the next gen, is the comfort edge, where it's not the hard, drastic edge. It's actually rounded, which is actually something very considered in from a manufacturing perspective. How do we get that edge to where you can rest your arm and it's comfortable, so you don't have to buy supplemental accessories and products to be able to support your arm throughout the day, things like that. But then also from a tech perspective, you know, this is why the survey and the work we're doing right now is so important, because I've also heard mixed feedback for people where they say, oh, all these companies develop all this new tech and hardware specifically, but then we end up reverting back to old hardware and we don't actually update. Like, I'm going to use the curved monitor, for example. It was kind of the new hot thing, but in a lot of the work we do, they're not really using curved monitors. So what are the true considerations from a tech perspective, from hardware and build, and from an IT perspective that we should be considering?
Like, Doug's going to laugh at me for this one, but what about like something like the Lovesac? Like convertible furniture, where you can convert it to, if you're having a training, it could be converted to maybe the 180 from a smaller one, so that you have the extra space when needed, but if you're not training, you can have two desks versus the one.
Wow.
I mean, you're going to Lovesac.
I'm like, oh,
well, yeah, that was
but
so
yeah, funny. Like,
okay. When she said that, I thought, I don't want
to
know.
It's the big furniture right now, because it can be converted in so many different ways to be used for so many different purposes. If there was like office or dispatch furniture that was like that, it might be more attractive to consider, considering that you're not always going to be training. Well, in a perfect world, they're not always training, although most agencies probably have a constant stream of it.
Yeah, and to your point, I go back to really that space planning moment where are they thinking about their space from a multi-use perspective? Because what we're starting to introduce and see a lot more of is there is the main floor, there is the center, But then there's these supplemental offices where maybe managers are at. But what we're trying to work toward is integrating not just consoles in those spaces, but for example, we have this other product, the TIA private office, but it's built with a desk that could be considered multi-use because you could have a manager who is there 3 or 4 days a week, but when they're not there, it's a multi-use space that can convert into sort of a semi-conference, you know, 5 to 6 people's desk. So it's also just starting to plant the seeds of how else can we design our space to accommodate multi-use. And that begins at the very beginning.
You know, and that's the thing, because I know a lot of comm centers, I mean, I just was up in Indiana teaching classes up there, and some of the agencies are really small. And they just don't have the, you know, footage to make a big, huge console, but they still have training going on. And they're like talking about how it's hard to train when you got to move your chair over. Then they come in and you're kind of both sitting there on top of each other. And it's like, that's a huge issue for some of these centers that just don't have the square footage in their comm center to accommodate. How about an extra position back there? And how about these? So, I mean, that's why I think that it's important to kind of like take that into consideration to say, you know, we may have two people working at the position that are not necessarily the smallest people in the world. And it could be a difficult situation. I mean, I've been there myself. So it's a big thing. But what you said something earlier, and I'm like, I want to stop on that. What's a headset hanger? What's that?
they are an accessory that for our consoles, which actually we do, it's standard, I believe. And it's a hook that's underneath the ledge and they can hang their headset on the hanger.
It's almost like one of those purse hangers.
Purse holders at a bar.
Like one of the other kind of fun things that we just put on the market was our double cup holder, because that was an industry feedback thing that we heard, that it's not just the coffee in the morning, it's the energy drink in the afternoon. Yeah. So the double cup holder is also a fun one.
Well, and you also mentioned the, you know, the mobile storage where, you know, historically desks or workstations have been, here's your, you know, the flat desktop, and then there's a drawer that you put all your stuff in. But, you know, having the mobility that, and especially post-COVID, where, you know, that, you know, suddenly we were very much aware of sharing equipment and things like that, where now you've got perhaps this ability to have your own, this is my drawer, and I push it out at the beginning of my shift, and at the end of my shift, I put all my stuff away, and I, you know, take it back to, you know, the little parking lot or whatever. That's pretty cool.
we got a lot of options for storage, like lockers and stash.
Well, stash, the one that people were talking about up in Idaho or in Indiana when it's up there was, I made the comment of, hey, right before I retired, my agency got these new consoles that had like air and heat on them, each position. And they're like, whoa, what now? And I'm like, no, it's out there. The air and heat little thing, it's available. And they're like, where did that start? I'm like, a long time ago. So there are agencies out there that are just, they're just so far behind the times, they don't get it. And I feel bad for them because I'm telling them about all these things that are coming up. And it's like, they're like, I don't know if we're ever going to get that stuff. So let me ask you this. Do you guys go out to comm centers and talk to people in the comm centers that are not using the product, that are maybe agencies that are really small that don't have that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to say is give me their name. We will have somebody go visit them and tell them all about the product. So we can connect later on that. But absolutely, we have reps in every market. Our reps are so wonderful. And not only do they go to centers and talk about the product, but really one of the things, like, for example, I know we talked a little bit about the gratitude campaign on the last session, but we love supporting local markets as well. And our reps are on the front lines and want to interact and engage and support. So whatever we can do, whether it means like dropping off donuts in the morning or whatever it is, we very much care about the people that we are here to serve. So for sure, we absolutely have folks that would that do and are super willing to stop by any center and have a conversation.
And that's what I was telling them. I said, have you reached out at all to tell these people yeah. maybe you want to see them because maybe they can work with you. I know some small cities don't have the budgeting and all that other stuff, but I said, you don't know until you call. I mean, it's like going to buy a used car. Right. And it's like, you don't know until you get there. So,
and especially in today's world where, you know, everyone is connected virtually. I can imagine that even the smallest centers can have that FaceTime with you, so to speak. Yeah. And, you know, because, you know, I know when my old agency, we moved from one building to another. And so we had a whole new center built. And, you know, you don't know, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know to ask those questions. And so having somebody, you know, from Watson come out and say, okay, these are all of the possibilities. And, you know, just, you know, get the information out there because a lot of these smaller agencies, they just don't know. I mean, my gosh, they don't even know that there's heat and environmental controls that are available on the workstation.
Well, let me ask you this, because you said you're building for the future. So you're building for 10 years out or whatever. What do you see as far as these desks that are just a desk? What do you see in 10 years of these desks? Are they going to be what? What's going to be the change?
So that's really why we're conducting the survey, is because we don't have all the answers. We want to know, we want to learn, we want to hear the insights and feedback. Because we don't know necessarily what the needs are 10 years from now. So that is one of the questions on the survey, is what's the future of 911? Where is it headed? And what do you need to make it more comfortable, to make it more efficient, to make it more high performing? Those are things we want to consider in the survey. Of course, we have some general assumptions that we can make about the type of console or desk that can serve 10 years from now. I mean, you can look at any of our products, and many of them have been on the market and been very successful for 20 years. So we have a good sense of, you know, what's working, what's not working, but we, especially in this marketplace and in this division, it's important to us to acknowledge and hear the insights from the people that are spending, like you said, 16, 20 hours in a desk space.
Yeah.
I remember one of the coolest things that we implemented in our new center, and it was so stupid, was that, you know, when you're printing out all the NCIC printouts and all the paperwork that you have to deal with, it's got to go into a shred bin. So they just put a little slit in the desktop where you could just put the paper down there.
And it went. Cool.
And it's like that was it, but that was the coolest thing ever, because then you weren't always having to look for the trash can. It went directly into the shredder, and it was like that simple thing was massive.
I love that for a few reasons. One is because that's exactly the kind of insights we need, but also one of the questions on our survey is, how much are you still in the paper world? And so hearing that insight, you know, and from a manufacturing perspective, is, and I'm not promising that this is going to happen, but I'm also like, in my mind, I'm like, you know, we can do that. Like, we can put that in a cabinet and make that happen.
Not promising anything. I would end up throwing it into a regular trash can and then go, oh, damn, we got to go pull it out of there and put it into a shred trash
can.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, let me ask you, you mentioned a few times.
I love it.
How do people get a hold of this survey? Can they still do it?
Is it still available? It's actually just launching. And again, I know we're talking about release dates, but it's launching in the next few days. I am going to send your team the link, and I'm hoping you can attach that to the post with this and share it wide. Please share it. We would love to get feedback. It's going to be running through the month of June, but we'll take it as long as people are willing to share. We'll take all the advice and insights we can get.
and I'm sure, you know, we're starting conference season. So you've got National NENA coming up, National APCO, all of these events. So, you know, for anybody who's going to those conferences, make sure that you stop by these booths and say, hey, I was listening to this podcast, this We Speak Dispatch podcast, and I learned about your product. You know, tell me more, because those are opportunities. And I think sometimes dispatchers and telecommunicators are too, I don't know if it's they're shy or they just don't feel like they're not comfortable with having those conversations. But I mean, what a perfect opportunity for you to have those face to face and say, hey, you know, tell me more about this and show me what you got, because that's, those people are going to go back to their centers and say, hey, I was at this conference and I talked to these people. And
yes, and you should, because yes, we are, we have booths at both NENA, APCO, and many state conferences where we're also there. Quint, who I think your team knows a little bit, will be at both of them. We'll have a fantastic team there, and he will be doing some ad hoc conversations to get some feedback on site too. So
are you going to be at the conferences? Are you going to be?
I will be at, let me make sure I have this right, APCO in August.
Excellent. That's the one we have a booth at too.
We'll see you there.
We'll be there with you. Hey, one quick question before we go. I know we're almost out of time, but one quick question. I hear this a lot from people. I just want to hear it from you because you work there. How often do you, should you clean these damn consoles? Is it some sort of like you talk about it or you don't? Or?
You know, I don't know if we have a guide for that. I know around COVID, we put a couple materials out in the ether. So I don't have a straight answer, but personally, I'm like, you know, germs are a real thing and you should as often as you can.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things about one of the materials that we have, and I don't believe it's available on our consoles, but something to consider for the future, is a finish that actually is more pen resistant. So you can easily just wipe off pen.
That's cool.
So, you know, considerations for future is materials that can accommodate easier cleaning. Again, like that's a small thing that can we accommodate that, but it's definitely a personal choice how often you clean your space.
Only because I just ordered some from Amazon, you know, the Clorox wipes that just pull out of the canister. Like a tissue dispenser, but it's the Clorox wipes that is right there at your console. And then you
clean that's it. A good idea.
Yeah. It is because it's a phenomenal idea. Don't clean the damn thing. They sit down after somebody and I'm like, yikes, people. Gross. Well, hey, Alexandra, we're so glad you were able to join us today on their on our little broadcast here. And we will put this out before the NENA conference so you can hear that. And please go see them at the conference. We'll be there too. So go and check them out and then listen to podcasts. So we're up to over 22,000 podcast plays and we're over 40 countries. So we're all over the place. And we hope you have enjoyed this episode and join us for the next one out there. So thanks everybody for coming by. Appreciate it. Go have a great rest of the day, everybody. Good luck.
Thank you.
Watts & Consoles is a proud sponsor of the We Speak Dispatch podcast. For more information or to schedule a showroom tour, visit wattsandconsoles.com. That's wattsandconsoles.com.